I'm Edward October, creator host of Octoberpod, and we're both listening to Freaky as Fuck on the Darkcast Network.
Darkcast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
Welcome to another episode of the Freaky as Fuck podcast. I'm your host, Sarai, and I just wanted to apologize for going MIA for a little bit. If you follow me on socials, I had announced that I was taking a little break, but I did wind up unexpectedly extending it. It's just every time I tried to write something up, I just simply could not. My mind has just been in a million places at once lately, and it's been causing me to feel really overwhelmed. I just did not have the mental capacity to focus on an episode. And I've said it before, I will never, ever release something that I feel is half-assed or something that I don't feel content with. It's not what you guys deserve, and especially if I'm covering a case, it's definitely not what the victims deserve. So I appreciate y'all for being patient with me, and let's just go ahead and get right into today's episode. Today, I'll be discussing the strange disappearance of Brian Schaefer. Brian Schaefer was born on February 25, 1979, in Pinkerton, Ohio. After graduating high school in 1997, Brian attended Ohio State University, where he got a degree in microbiology. In 2004, he began attending OSU's College of Medicine. Brian's longtime girlfriend, Alexis Wagner, who was also attending the College of Medicine, described him as being brilliant, handsome, sweet, loyal, and caring. March 31st, 2006, 27-year-old Brian is in his second year of medical school, and it's the Friday right before spring break. Brian goes out to a steak dinner with his father, Randy, before going out for drinks with his friend and former roommate, Clint Florence. Randy later mentions that he figured Brian was just going to stay in for the remainder of the evening, but Florence felt that a night out would do Brian some good, as on top of being stressed out about his exams, he also had been dealing with the sudden death of his mother, Renee, who had unfortunately lost her battle with bone cancer just 3 weeks earlier. Sometime after 9 p.m., the two arrive at a local bar located in the South Campus Gateway Complex called the Ugly Tuna Saluna. There, the two started the night off by downing a couple shots. At around 10 p.m., Brian excuses himself to make a phone call to Alexis, who was visiting with her parents in Toledo at the time. She was due back in town that Monday so that the two could depart to Miami together. The trip was planned way in advance, and it's believed that Brian was actually going to propose during this little getaway. Their flight was scheduled to depart on Monday morning. Once the conversation had ended and the two exchanged I love yous, Brian and Clint had a couple more drinks at the Ugly Tuna before bar hopping their way to the Arena District and then to the Short North, where they meet up with Clint's friend, Meredith Reed. Reed offers to give her inebriated friends a ride back to the Ugly Tuna where their night had begun, and agrees to stick around for one more round before last call. Street surveillance shows the trio riding the escalator up to the second floor bar at 1:15 a.m. Brian is caught on camera one last time at 1:55, where he could be seen chatting it up with two young ladies outside of the Ugly Tuna. After their conversation ends, Brian walks out of frame, appearing to be heading back into the bar, but what happens next is completely unknown because this is the last time Brian is caught on camera. 2:10 rolls around and Florence and Reed can't find Brian anywhere. They look for him in the bathroom and attempt to reach him on his cell phone, but their calls all go unanswered. They figured that he'd probably stumbled his way back home, so they decide to leave. For the rest of the weekend, Alexis and Brian's father, Randy, constantly try to get a hold of him, but their calls go unanswered as well. On Sunday evening, Alexis decides to stop by Brian's apartment, only to find it empty with no sign of his whereabouts. Nothing seemed to be out of the ordinary, all of his belongings were left untouched, and his car was even still sitting in the apartment's parking lot.
I came here every single day the first few days and just, you know, laid here in the middle of his bed and just sobbed.
Monday morning came along and Brian had missed his flight to Miami. He was officially declared a missing person later on that day. Investigators began their search for Brian Schaefer at the Ugly Tuna where he was last seen. The security footage was examined, and investigators soon realized that there was no evidence of Brian ever leaving the bar on the tapes. Surveillance cameras covered both exits of the Ugly Tuna, as well as the escalator that leads to the street. There is a set of stairs and an elevator that is not in view of the cameras. However, once on the first floor, the only way out that isn't being surveyed by cameras is a serviced exit that led to a construction site. Investigators stated that exiting this way would prove to be difficult for a sober person, let alone someone who'd been having a couple of drinks. Everyone who entered the bar was later accounted for. Everyone except for Brian, of course. Surveillance cameras in the neighboring bars were also examined. However, none of them came up with any new information. During the first few days of the investigation into the disappearance of Brian Schaefer, as many as 50 police personnel scoured the streets, searched through dumpsters, and went door to door to gather as much information as they could. But every single lead came up empty. There was no sign of Brian at any of the local hospitals or homeless shelters. Even the sewer system was searched, but no evidence was ever found. It was as if he quite literally dropped off the face of the earth. Lead investigator Sergeant John Hurst later told NBC News, quote,
"There is no sign of credit usage, no cell phone usage, nothing."
Theories began to circulate that Brian could have fallen victim to some kind of attack, as the area that he was bar hopping in had a high crime rate, but no evidence has ever come to light to prove this theory. There's also the possibility that Brian had brought a change of clothes with him in order to sneak out of the bar undetected to start a new life elsewhere. But his family and friends are adamant that Brian would never have done such a thing. In May 2006, Brian's apartment was broken into. However, the incident proved to have no connection to his disappearance. Alexis would call Brian's cell phone every day since he'd gone missing, and every time it'd gone straight to voicemail, except for one time in September when it suddenly rang. However, his phone company later admitted that it could have just been a computer glitch. Sunday, September 14, 2008, a violent storm went through the northeastern U.S. Randy Schaefer was believed to be walking to his shed in his backyard to take shelter when he was suddenly struck and killed by a fallen tree limb. Neighbors found his body the following morning. Brian's younger brother, Derek Schaefer, is the only surviving member of his immediate family. In February 2020, a photo of a homeless man in Tijuana, Mexico that closely resembled Brian circulated the internet, but FBI facial recognition later proved it not to be him. Brian Schaefer is a white male with light brown hair and hazel eyes. He has a black spot on his left iris, and at the time that he went missing, he was 6'2". And weighed around 160 to 165 pounds. He has a Pearl Jam tattoo on his upper arm and was last seen wearing an olive green short sleeve polo shirt over a white long sleeved undershirt, blue jeans, white Adidas sneakers, and a yellow rubber cancer awareness bracelet. He would be 43 years old today. If you have any information regarding Brian's disappearance or his whereabouts, please contact the Columbus, Ohio Police Department. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the disappearance of Brian Schaefer. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd really appreciate it if you left a 5-star rating and review wherever it is that you're listening to this episode. If you'd like to follow me on social media, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at FreakyAFPod. That's FREAKY AFPOD. And if you'd like to shoot us an email, you can send that to freakyafpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to further support the show, you can donate to our coffee or buy yourself something nice from our merch store. Both of those links will be found in the show notes. Be sure to check out our website, www.freakyafpodcast.com. And I hope to see you back here next week for some more spooky shit. Bye.
Are you on the hunt for indie podcasts with a dark side, but you're not quite ready to commit to subscribing to a new pod? Why not wet your beak with Spotlight on Darkcast? Each week we drop a new episode from one of the many shows on the Darkcast Network. Here you'll find true crime, brew crime, petty crime, retro horror, classic horror, true horror, spree killers, thrill killers, serial killers, breakfast serial killers, true paranormal, histories, mysteries, frauds, cheats, swindlers, two-timers, double-timers, four-flushers, cryptids, cryptography, astrology, virology, pathology, epidemiology, and people that fuck around with Ouija boards. Explore Spotlight on Darkcast. It's like dozens of superlative indie podcasts in one weekly package, and it can be found wherever you listen to podcasts. Spotlight on Darkcast. Fuck around and find out.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl Sarai from the Freaky as Fuck podcast, and I don't think I have to tell y'all that I am a huge fan and collector of all things spooky and macabre. And if you're like me, then might I recommend checking out Hell Yeah Voodoo Dolls? This incredible online shop has one-of-a-kind handcrafted voodoo dolls, handmade jewelry, and all kinds of Hell Yeah merch, such as hoodies, t-shirts, beanies, and more. If you're looking to get a unique gift for yourself or for your favorite person, be sure to check out Hell Yeah Voodoo Dolls. You can find them at hellyahvoodoodolls.com, where you can also find some info on the 4,000 square foot haunted Victorian manor that they're renovating. Shop Hell Yeah Voodoo Dolls today for your spooky needs.